Hey, everybody, welcome into Redacted on this, what is it, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. Game
Wednesday,
on.
May 22nd, 2024. Good to see all of you. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we kind of navigate the crazy clown world that is the current world right
planet
now.
Planet Earth.
It is just everything.
Just everything. The world.
You stay classy, planet
Earth.
God.
I was knee deep in stories today and writing on the show. I have to go outside and just get some sun. Oh my God, the state of the world right now. It's absolutely insane. We're going to talk about a lot of that tonight on the show. We're going to talk about, Tucker Carlson furious at Newsweek and the mainstream media for spreading lies and rumors about him, all in an effort really to try to get him arrested. We're going to talk about that. Also, war coming to the United States. We know exactly where it's slated to start. We're going to take you to Chicago, where this is a tinderbox waiting to explode right now with illegal immigration that is going up against communities there. And we are going to see really a devastation this summer.
Plus, we have a new COVID variant. They're saying, just get vaccinated. Have they studied it? No. Do they know if the vaccination works on this strain? No. But they want you to just get vaccinated. We're going to take a look at this variant anyway.
Also, a really disgusting story on American Airlines. Like, this might be their like Bud Light moment. And, you know, you would have thought it would have. Well, we're not going to ruin anything about it. We're not going to talk about that. We'll just get there in a minute because it's okay. So infuriating. But hey, welcome into the show. Good to see all of you guys tonight. Good to see you. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. I always love to see all of the different locations that you're joining us from.
Montreal. Hello. Hello from Calgary. Thank you for joining us. Tucson. Carson, California. All right.
How would you say, Klaus Schwab is joining us. Klaus Schwab says, get your boosters. Thank you, Klaus. Thank you. Now that Klaus is heading for retirement, he has time to hang out in the redacted chat room.
Oh, great. We're so happy to have you here. We have some questions.
Boy, I hope he doesn't go back and watch any past episodes, though. Just start fresh, Klaus. Just start fresh.
Just start from today on. Yeah, don't go back and see anything else we've been covering on here. Good to see all of you on Rumble and on X. We stream live every Monday through Thursday on those platforms. So thank you, guys. By the way, it's free to subscribe to our shows. Let me know, do you guys get alerts? I saw a bunch of people saying, oh, the show just started, but I didn't get any alerts. So YouTube tends to do that. They don't send out alerts, but let us know. It's totally free to subscribe and be a part of our show here. So thank you guys so much for doing that, because we're here every day for you, and we really appreciate the audience we have here. You guys are the best. All right, let's get into some news in case you missed it while you were busy with your day, you know, providing for your family and working hard. So let's talk about this. Germany is trying to dethrone Israel as a safe haven for pedophiles and sex offenders. You're watching Germany collapse in real time. This is just another instance of it. Just for some context, though, first on Israel so you understand. As the Times of Israel, of course, reported, and they've continued to report on this, over the past decade, pedophiles have been using Israel as a safe haven to escape prosecution in other countries. They can go to Israel and be protected, basically. Quoting the Times of Israel, these are the Times of Israel's words, not mine. Quote, one of the country's founding pieces of legislation, the Law of Return, allows any diaspora Jew to receive citizenship in Israel. But child rights activists contend there's a dark loophole to the law, which allows Jewish pedophiles to effectively flee court-mandated supervision in their home countries and move to Israel with a clean slate. So they get to go there. Pedophile doesn't matter. Come on in. We'll welcome you here in Israel. So that's great news for Jewish pedophiles. But what about non-Jewish pedophiles? Because there's a lot of them. So they may want like a safe country to go to, and they might want to get a clean slate, right? Well, enter Germany, which just passed a new law that decriminalizes pedophilia and child sex crimes in Deutschland. So Germany's parliament, the Bundestag, has received the votes necessary to remove a section of the criminal code which made the possession of child sexual abuse materials a felony crime. And once the bill, passed last Thursday, comes into effect, the minimum sentences for the possession of child pornography will be reduced and the offense will just be a simple misdemeanor, just a slap on the wrist. So go to Germany. Germany just became a destination for child pornographers all over the world. So open up the floodgates there in Germany.
Okay, great. Perverts,
disgusting.
Beware. Beware for perverts. Not perverts, beware. Perverts, I hope something bad happens to you.
Right.
I had that wrong, just in case.
Yeah.
I don't want anything good
no,
for
you don't.
Perverts.
Good. Thank
you. Are we clear on that?
Thank you for qualifying that. Thank you.
I want no good to come to you. Okay, more news for electric vehicles. A new study shows that EVs kill twice the number of pedestrians than gas-powered cars in the UK. Now, researchers found that 5.16 people on average were hit by an electric or hybrid car for every 100 million miles that that type of vehicle is driven on the road, compared with 2.4 people for petrol and diesel cars. So that's twice. They estimate that this is because the engines are quieter, so pedestrians don't have a warning coming. Plus, you know, most people these days are on their phones, so you need that vibration and that sound. So these types of accidents are the leading cause of death for children and young people, and they account for 1 in 4 road traffic deaths. Now, EV manufacturers since 2021 do have sound generators, but apparently that's just not enough because, you know, it's not something to just blast sound. There is also the vibration of the engine that apparently is keeping people safe. Who knew?
I remember they were talking about taking these EV cars and then putting some sort of a speaker or some sort of a subwoofer, something in the car that like you're driving. It'd be like a fake sound, like the fake sound.
Well, they do have fake
energies.
Sounds now.
But which ones do? I've never
since
even...
Since 2021, they have what's called sound generators.
But who has these? I don't know anyone like...
You kind of hear that. Like I heard one in the mall parking lot the other day, like green.
So it's like a fake, sound.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That
All right.
Wasn't very good, but.
Well, is Tucker Carlson now hosting a television show on Russian state media? Newsweek, bastion of journalism, that is Newsweek, and several other outlets jumped on this, reported yesterday that Tucker Carlson launched his own show on Russian television. A claim that was widely picked up, of course, and ran with all over social media. Tucker Carlson's got a show in Russia. The claim was unequivocally false, Tucker told Sputnik News. He says, quote, by claiming I work for a foreign government, Newsweek is trying to justify a FISA warrant that would allow the Biden administration to continue to spy on me. It's disgusting, he said. And he was furious about it. And then the CEO of the Tucker Carlson Network, Neil Patel, posted on X, said that the network has not done any deals with state media in any country. He added that whoever is currently pretending to be the old Newsweek brand would know that if they actually had checked with us before printing, like news companies are supposed to do, they didn't even reach out to him to find out if this was true or not. Tucker Carlson's representative, Arthur Schwartz, also dismissed such reports as pure nonsense, told Forbes magazine. So think about that, right? They're literally trying to paint him as like a foreign asset so they can spy on him and or arrest him. You know,
I mean,
well, one headline I saw on this was like really scathing. I mean, it was like it didn't hide its bias at all. I think the headline was something like calling him a traitor, that, you know, the guy that interviewed Putin has his like new show on Russian state media. And I mean, that was like all in the headline. I mean, it was just like,
now he's a traitor. He's got a show. Turns out it was like some channel in Russia
was rebroadcasting his ex show.
Yeah. Like
that's exactly what it was.
Basically stolen content, like stole his content, then dubbed a Russian voice over him. And it was not even his new Tucker show. I don't know. It's like a Tucker show. It's an old one or whatever, but they just ripped it from the web,
right?
Repurposed it and then put it up on some channel in Russia. Had nothing to do with them, but they didn't check it. Newsweek, of course. Who still reads Newsweek? Like, who reads that garbage? Could you imagine getting a subscription to Newsweek or The Economist?
No comment.
Or any of that crap? All right, we've got a lot of news to get to tonight. We're going to talk about war coming to the United States. This is our big story. And this is a tinderbox right now. And we're going to show you where. We're going to go on the streets there and show you exactly what's coming to the United States with this illegal immigrant invasion that's happening just in time for the Democratic National Convention this summer in August. But first, do you know that our store, we have a redacted store, it runs on Shopify. If you go to redactedstore.com, you can check it out. Our friends at Shopify allow you to build an online store in minutes. Get up and running and start selling whatever it is that you're dreaming of building right there online. I mean, it's amazing how quickly we were able to get the redacted store like up and running. We had the idea Many of you are asking, like, hey, can we get mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, et cetera? And we said, yes. And we built it, I think, over a weekend. But now we've tweaked and refined it over time. But so many companies are built using Shopify. And it's all done with their simple-to-use platform. And it's very easy to integrate with your payment solutions as well. And it's really fantastic. So whether you're serving up like daily digest, like digital products, or you've actually got physical products, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point of sale system. Wherever you are, whatever you're selling, Shopify has you covered. Right now, I want you to check them out. And all you need to do right there on your screen is go to shopify.com/redacted, shopify.com/redacted to try it out right now and see if Shopify is a great fit for you. And you're going to check out and get up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms right now. It's the best converting checkout option, 36% better than other e-commerce platforms. Again, shopify.com/redacted. Well, a war is coming to the United States in months, not years. Former 24-year veteran of the Customs and Border Protection, J.J. Carroll, just uncovered the truth of what's happening with Biden's border invasion, and the war will start in Black communities. That's where it's going to start first. Listen to J.J. in Chicago talking with Black citizens who are being crushed right now under the weight of illegal immigrants in their communities. Watch.
This is America.
This is America.
There's a problem.
And the people have a problem with Trump. What are you crazy? Biden.
Biden did this. This is not Trump.
Exactly. The Democrat Party in this city hates poor Black people. And I'm talking about all of the Democrat Party, the Black Caucus and everybody else. This is a fact. They have starved the people.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I've been in politics for the last 25 years, ran for city council twice. They have no intentions for American citizens, especially Black America, poor Black people in this city, obsolete.
And JJ joins me now, fresh off of his trip. JJ, great to see you again. You know, you've obviously confronted some of the most unbelievable circumstances as it relates to the southern border in the United States, some of the most dangerous circumstances that you faced with arrests. How does Chicago, far away from the southern border, how does Chicago stack up with what you're used to at the southern border?
Chicago is a war zone, and it is a forgotten, Trump called it the forgotten America, forgotten Americans. So the reason why I went to Chicago is I believe it's a ground zero of the invasion. This is the manifestation of treason. It's going to work from the coastlines in through the inner cities of major metropolitan areas. That gentleman that you showed, Mark Clayton, is an activist in Chicago. He took me down to the South Side. I had to be escorted down there because of the gang violence and all of the issues. But their local government has poured over $3 billion into their community for illegal aliens, not their community, but for illegal aliens. And they are being systematically pushed out of their communities like Inglewood. It is something I have never witnessed before. I feel like I'm traveled, I'm smart, I've been places. I'm telling you, when you go down to the South Side, it is desolate, it is desperate, hopeless, violent. I would say one out of five houses are dilapidated and shuttered. The other four need to be shuttered. Businesses are closed and shuttered. There's no industry. They are bringing illegal aliens, majority from Venezuela, and they are moving them out of their communities. Let me give you an example. The city of Chicago paid Black residents that were living in these dilapidated shacks, if you will, $1,000 to move out. Well, why would the landlords in Chicago want them to move out? $1,000. Because each illegal alien has $9,000 attached to them for rent assistance. $9,000. So they're moving them out and moving them in. Now, Clayton, I talked to mega church, Black pastors, street pastors, violent gang members that have come out of prison that are trying to reform their community, been in prison for murder for 21 years, another one, murder for 26 years, and soup kitchen workers, everyone in between down on the South Side of Chicago, Black residents, Black Americans. And they all say to me, to a man and woman, they say, we're going to war. And it took me back for a second, and I was like, okay, well, let's clarify what war is. And they said, whatever we have to do to maintain and protect our community. And a black pastor, the rooftop pastor, the AK rooftop pastor that Tucker Carlson interviewed for many, many months as he sat on top of a building during the winter months because of the prostitution crime that was across the street from his church, Pastor Brooks told me, we are within one black teenager being raped by these Venezuelan gangs, or black Venezuelan gangs killing a black gang member or vice versa, and Chicago is going to explode. Everyone knows it, and isn't it coincidental, which I don't believe in coincidences, last week, DNC comes out and says, well, we're really kind of rethinking the Chicago DNC convention. We might do it remote. They know it as well as I do, that this is a powder keg ready to explode.
Yeah, can you hold the Democratic National Convention in Chicago? I mean, what do you have to show for it? I mean, as we talked about with Mark, with the activist, he says, you're seeing Democrats have destroyed this city, so you're going to bring the Democratic National Convention there? I mean, you're right. This is an absolute powder keg moment. And I think, you know, we throw this term war around a lot. And I've thought a lot about this since you and I have been talking over the past few days. This idea, I've thought it was going to be a civil war. We've been thinking of the term civil war in the United States, Americans against Americans right now. But I think it's not. I think what you saw in Chicago, what you're seeing with your documentary Treason, what you're uncovering, is an invasion, and it's a repelling of an invasion. That will be the war. Americans coming together, and they hate that. I mean, absolutely, the powers that be would hate that Republicans and Democrats, MAGA Americans, and liberal Democrats would come together and say, enough is enough. We want to take our country back. And maybe I'm wrong, but is that where you see this war unfolding, or how this war would unfold? It won't be a civil war. It'll be a repelling of this invasion as a war.
I absolutely believe that. And my mindset is changing as I'm going to these communities, and I'm going to Boston and New York next. But I knew Chicago was the epicenter. And you're right. What scares the power structures more than anything, Clayton, is a big white man standing next to a big black man, both alpha males, one in law enforcement, one in the prison system, and realizing we have enormous amounts in common. We agree on the majority of everything. And the things that we don't agree on, we can civilly talk and come to a good conclusion because we're Americans. But when you take us and we're looking at the same problem and we're saying, the source of that problem is the government. The government is destroying you. Why would I not help my brother? I don't care what race he is or what religion. He's my American brother and sister. Why would I not help him? That's going to be the call to America, because as I say in my interviews, if you think it's going to be contained in this bubble in Chicago, you're a fool. It's already spread across America. There's 45 million illegal aliens in America right now, 45 million. And I spoke to a female precinct leader in the GOP. There's only two GOP offices, I think, in all of Illinois. One of them is in Southside. And she tells me, she goes, do you think this is coincidental, JJ? You think this is just happenstance that the black population is decreasing in Chicago? They're about 700,000-ish. Do you think it has no meaning that the Mayor Johnson 2 weeks ago said out loud, we're bringing in 700,000 illegal aliens? It's a one for one. They're replacing us. And I didn't even use the word replacement. They all did. I'm talking from the highest level intellect down to street level knowledge and everyone in between. We are being replaced. We are being replaced. And I'm like, wow, they are absolutely, they're on the front lines. And as these men told me, these gang members told me, if they think they're going to take it from me, they got another thing coming. We're armed to the teeth. We got 100-round drums. We got clips, magazines that have 30 rounds in them. We're not going without a fight. That's petrifying. I don't want that in America, but I'm telling you, Clayton, I was down. I saw how these illegal aliens live. They're staying in accommodations in the highest rent areas of Chicago, downtown. They are staying in buildings that are shadowed by the Department of Justice building. They're doing pimping, prostitution, drugs, fighting. And our brothers and sisters, I literally walked from a tent compound where American citizens, veterans are living in squalor. The stench of feces and urine was overwhelming. I leave that to go to illegals living in luxury. They've taken over a whole city block. Clayton, here's the final thing one thing I want to impress upon. When you and I talked about me walking on the border in San Diego, in the area that I bled on to get to control that, and that feeling I had that I was in enemy territory, that they owned it. I was in Chicago when the vast majority, there were hundreds of military age adult men from Venezuela, majority from Venezuela. They looked at me like, what are you doing? This is our neighborhood. Get out. This is what's happening to America. You are being replaced. They are. What do you do when you go into war? You take land. It's called occupying property. They're occupying America and they're pushing us out. 45 million going on 50 million strong. And the other thing I want to say that as I travel and I see it, I went from leaving the United States Border Patrol 3 years ago when the NGOs didn't really know what they were doing. The NGOs on the south side bringing the caravans up didn't know. The government just created this chaos because they wanted to destroy America. And it was all chaotic and clunky. No longer, Clayton. I'm watching an industrial strength, the industrial size operation that is streamlined and efficient from the Darien Gap to Chicago. I have never seen anything like this big and this perfectly orchestrated. It is unbelievable.
It must have felt like a whole different world. I mean, I've been to Chicago many times. I can't imagine. You know, you feel like you're a foreigner in your own country walking down those streets of Chicago.
Well, you know what was amazing too is what, and you watch this video that Mark Carter, when he and I are talking, he takes me across the street to those tent cities, the tent compound. Hundreds of people live in there, drug addicts, everything. It's just a horrible, miserable way for any human to live. And I'm interviewing several of them, and they tell me the stories of during the winter, how they're getting frostbite on their toes and their fingers. Clayton, 200 yards away, 200 yards away is the illegal immigrant intake center. They have five tents that look like the beautiful white wedding tents with beautiful signage where they feed, clothe, and medicate them. And then if it's too cold, Clayton, they put them on five city buses that stay running 24 hours a day so they can warm up. U.S. citizens were knocking on the doors of the bus saying, please let me in, as illegal aliens were sitting there getting warm, eating freshly cooked food with brand new clothes, and our Americans are knocking on the bus. And you know what the bus driver said? Only illegal aliens allowed. This is not hyperbole. I'm not making this up. This is what's happening to our nation. And it's unfair. You and I can have a discussion, Clayton, about how much money we give, how do we fix the homeless problem. But the one discussion we can't have any disagreement on, do you take care of American citizens first? Or do you make them stay and sleep in the freezing cold while I take care of foreign nationals that broke our nation's laws and I give them everything they need? When I was coming out of those homeless shelters, I mean the illegal alien migrant hotels, you know what I saw? I saw men wearing very nice clothes, extremely clean, watches, jewelry. Another thing I saw, Clayton, they were jumping in and out of vehicles that they bought that had no license plates, no anything. And I'm told by Chicago PD officers, we're not allowed to stop them. We know who they are. They get to drive licenseless, plateless, anything. Just, it's anarchy. It's anarchy. And I will tell you this, I talked to several lieutenants within the Chicago PD, and they told me, the plan was to have no plan, meaning just chaos. These are soldiers, frontline law enforcement guys telling me this is a disaster. And they tell me also the DNC comes in August. They said, prepare. It's going to be beyond insane. Crime rampant, BLM, anarchists, illegal aliens, gang members says, we're not prepared. That's a quote, we are not prepared. That's why you're seeing the DNC thinking about canceling their convention.
And you said they're not prepared. The Chicago PD says we're not prepared.
Chicago, this is a quote. Chicago PD lieutenant told me, we are not prepared and our federal partners are extremely concerned because we do not have a handle on anything.
I hope people are paying attention to what JJ just said. That is unbelievable, what you just told me. I'm frankly speechless. I mean, and I'm like on the verge of tears, to be honest with you. Like, I can't freaking believe that this is happening in the United States of America right now. I mean, we need, I don't know what we do, but you've seen, of course, videos talking about 80,000 Americans ready to go, ready to launch a revolution, legal revolution in this country to expel these people. You have all of these black activists and black citizens here who are being trampled under the foot of illegal immigration by the Democrats. And they're saying, we're about to go to war. And what is the Biden administration doing right now? Literally the same day I'm talking to you, Rachel Levine, who's the Surgeon General or whatever the hell he is issuing a statement saying the number one threat to black Americans right now is climate change. So this is, I'm not making that up.
It's funny. You got to laugh or you're going to cry.
I'm like, this is how out of touch these people are. I mean, I hope next time once the treason documentary is done, I hope you go to these black communities in Chicago and do another documentary on how climate change is the number one thing that's affecting them right now. Because all that frostbite that they're getting is a direct result of climate change. I mean, it's absolutely infuriating. And of course, we've covered, of course, all the NGOs and the number of the funneling of this money here, this migrant center. But I just got to ask you, I mean, what does it seem like it's organized? You hear from these different activists who are talking about there's a war coming. Are they all on the same page with this? Are they talking about what's coming? Are they actively preparing for something? I mean, you talk about this sort of tinderbox moment. I guess I'm more worried about sort of the explosive moment, you know, the start of World War I moment in the United States. What will be the shot heard round the world moment? Will we have a George Floyd style moment that will be used to rally? Or do they seem like they're all on the same page with this?
They are all on the same page. And I can't reiterate this enough. I'm talking to men that have been out of prison for a year or two, spent 2.5 decades in prison, major gang members. The creator, I sat down with the founder of the Black Disciples. They're all telling me, from there to the beautiful woman that works in the soup kitchen that's overworked out of her mind, to street pastors, to a mega pastor, to politicians and precinct leaders and everyone in between, not knowing that I'm speaking to everyone else, right? Like I'm walling everyone off. They're adamantly, we're going to war. That's what they're saying. This is not my words. I'm not coming up with a phrase. They're saying, we are going to war. And I ask them, well, what does that look like? Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes. And they think we're going to roll over. And they made a very great point to me. They said, we have been abused for decades. We have lived in squalor for decades. We have been oppressed for decades. Do you think 10, 20, 100, 200,000 illegal aliens from Venezuela are going to beat us? Do you know where we have been conditioned? When we're talking about going to war, we've been at war. And I'm going to tell you, that's a war zone already. It's dilapidated. The only thing that's missing is maybe some tanks, military tanks running through that city, because it's dilapidated. There's no grocery stores. You have to go get food at the gas station. There's no industry. There's no nothing. I don't even know how to really quantify how desperate and how desolate and hopeless that place is. But they are full of hope because their hope is in them. And I will say this because I know, because I've been on the other side where I'm like, you voted for this, inner city Chicago. All of your aldermen, city council, mayor, chief of police, everyone, even they say, are all Black. But to their credit, they said, the only way that we're going to clean up our communities is we clean it up. The men clean it up. We come back from prison and we help. He says, but there is no resources. We have no money. And when you look at it, and they're absolutely right, $3 billion from Chicago has been poured into the illegal aliens. Nothing for inner city Blacks. Let me go one step further. I'm talking to the GOP leader, and he tells me, do you know last week that we beat back a bond measure for $150 million for illegal aliens? We beat it back. He goes, but you know what Mayor Johnson did? They did a circle around, and they took out a loan, not for $150 million, but for $1.25 billion, and all of it is earmarked for illegal aliens. So you think, and the last thing, one thing I want to tell you, Clayton, the last adjective that they all use to describe how they feel, the Black residents in inner city Chicago, they say, we feel humiliated. When you combine resentment, anger, and then you throw humiliation on with a dose of no hope and devastation, that's a recipe for disaster, dude. And I lived it. I was there 3 days straight just filming and talking. And I came away flying back to my suburban, very police-oriented neighborhood that I don't worry about anything except take care of my wife and my son. I'm flying home and I'm thinking, what did I just see? What world am I flying from? That was not America. My partner in this, Ryan Matta, and I were talking, dude, where did we just come from? That's how bizarre this whole thing is. And the federal government is doing this to America on purpose.
War, revolution, use whatever word you want, but it's coming to the United States of America right now. And someone who's on the front lines right now, being able to educate all of us about what's happening. I hope you share this with people. I hope you publish this on Facebook if they'll let you. They'll probably get blocked. Share this everywhere. Let people know what's coming. This is the United States of America right now. J.J. Carroll has been our guest. His new documentary is called Treason. Hopefully it'll be published in the fall, but he's, of course, putting all of this together right now, traveling the country, and he's kind enough to share some of these dispatches with us as this story unfolds. But this one really got me, J.J. This really... Hit me in a way that I didn't think it was going to, but it really has. Thank you for joining us, JJ. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the time, as always, Clayton.
My pleasure. Thanks, JJ. A couple of things stand out to me. I just hearing him just say that, you know, they can, the Chicago PD is told to not arrest these individuals if they have a car with an unlicensed, you know, no license plate on the car. Like if you or I were driving one of these cars and had no license plate on, we'd be pulled over in a second.
Yeah.
Right? No license plate in these cars. And where are they getting the money?
Can the rest of us say that now?
I guess.
Can we not register our cars?
Well, I want to know how they.
Yeah.
I want to know how, if I'm denied $150 million like grant to take care of this, what do they put up for collateral for, like, what do you say, like a $1.25 billion loan? Like, what does a city put up for collateral? They're like, well, hey, if we default on this, you get the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
We'll give you the Cubs.
Well, I mean, you think about it. So there's no cities. I mean, there's no infrastructure anymore. So your tax base has been destroyed. All of these businesses are closed. People have moved out. Where are you getting tax money? So how are you able to afford a $2.5 billion loan? Like, how are you going to pay that back? The answer is you're not. I mean, right. This is like the United States right now. Can't, you know, just keeps borrowing more money and can't pay it back. Anyway, thanks to JJ on that. We'll have more news here on the show. We're going to be talking about there's a new COVID variant, and they really want you to go get vaccinated for it right now. Shocking, I know. We'll talk about that. It's called Flirt.
Right.
Who came up with these names?
Plus, in a new lawsuit, American Airlines is saying you should not expect privacy in an airport bathroom. Just don't.
Airline bathroom.
In an airport plane bathroom. Yeah. You should not expect privacy in an airplane bathroom. Just so you know, we're going to go over this disturbing story as well. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Bank on Yourself, because of course, you know, when you watch commercials about finance products, you know that those products are going to make Wall Street wealthy. They're not designed to make you wealthy, despite the best marketing that says, oh, max out your 401k or your IRA. What that basically means is partner with the government to invest in the stock market. That's a lie. But Wall Street won't tell you about a better way, which is our friends over at Bank on Yourself. It is guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income. With Bank on Yourself, your plan never goes backwards when the markets tumble, because your principal and growth are locked in. It is tax-free retirement. You know what your tax rate will be in retirement. It's zero under current tax law, which protects you from the coming tax tsunami. Plus, you're in control. You get access to your money for any purpose with no questions asked. Try doing that with a 401k or an IRA. In fact, we had to pay an expense for an investment recently, and I was like, oh no, if we don't pay that out of the IRA, penalties galore. They will have a party penalizing your IRA. You don't want to do that. Well, not with a Bank on Yourself type investment. So sit down with your family, your spouse, whoever it is that you make investment decisions with, like this couple right here. See, they're learning how to do better with their investments and their future. You should try this too. Go to bankonyourself.com/redacted if you want guaranteed predictable annual growth, control of your money, and tax-free retirement. Again, go to bankonyourself.com/redacted. You'll get a free report with the proven retirement plan alternative that banks and Wall Street don't want you to know about. So once again, for your free report, check it out, bankonyourself.com/redacted. Well, a new strain of COVID is called the Flirt variant. It's Flirt, all capitals, except the I is lowercase.
Okay.
That's what we're doing now. It sounds like a cool band. It is not. It's not an app, and it's not a band. The Flirt variant. It feels like they're messing with us with this nomenclature, but that's what we're calling it. Here's the news in Australia. Now, remember that as the Northern Hemisphere goes into summer, Australia is going into winter. Watch.
A health warning tonight as a new mutation of COVID sweeps the country just in time for winter. The strain is highly contagious, prompting new advice on boosters and antivirals.
It takes a lot to floor Nine News seniors reporter Bruce Page, but the past few days have been miserable.
This is a man who's had six shots. I thought, bulletproof? No. Got me.
It's not the 75-year-old's first brush with COVID, but this round is much worse.
Knocked me over. First time was a breeze compared to this. Aches, coughing, ribs are sore from the coughing. I don't like it.
Okay, that... Six I wonder how shots. That worked on you. Was that scary? He had a bad cold and he really didn't like it.
Six shots.
Yes. Well, I mean, if he'd spent more time reading the data and less time going to get COVID boosters, he would know that every booster he gets increases his risk of contracting COVID. We've had real world data to show that since at least 2022, and the CDC last year admitted that with the BA.2.86 variant, that it is more capable of causing infection to people who have previously had COVID or received COVID vaccines. So vaccination is a risk factor for getting COVID. We've seen that playing out. Why did that guy not know this when he was going to get six shots? Now, given the fact that we are told that the vaccine does about the same thing for every strain, which it just makes your COVID easier, that's what they're saying the vaccine does, which has never been proven, there is no reason to believe that the current vaccine will not also be a risk factor for the Flirt variant. But the news tells us, get the vaccine anyway. Listen.
Driving the fresh threat, a family of highly contagious new subvariants called Flirt, with seniors and at-risk people who haven't had a recent booster vaccination being urged to get one.
Those people are still very susceptible, particularly with these new variants, and with case numbers rising, that will result in hospitalizations and people not surviving.
Okay, so is there any data that people would survive if they had a COVID vaccine? No, there is not. Why do reporters let them keep saying that, I wonder? I mean, a proper question from that reporter would be, Well, do we know that the previous vaccine actually prevented any deaths? No, we don't. And I will say this until I'm blue in the face, because every time the news tells you that the vaccine does something, we have to look back at the data that tells us exactly what the vaccine did and whether it worked. For instance, this, so there's two studies that are used when people say the vaccine worked and saved lives. It's this one we've talked about a lot. It demonstrated clinically meaningful levels of protection because they compared rates of death on ventilated people who had COVID vaccine. They found that the people whose vaccines were more recent were less likely to die on a ventilator or get on a ventilator or die. However, they also found that unvaccinated people were less likely to get on the ventilator in the first place. So that study is bullshit. Once you actually look at that, this is the other one that people cite when they say that the COVID vaccine worked. This one estimates the number of lives saved by the COVID vaccine. It proves nothing. What they did was took an expected math model of deaths and concluded because the world never reached that level of deaths, it must have been the vaccine. That also is, it's full of holes, that study. So when people say, oh yes, the COVID vaccine worked, these are the only two studies that they use to cite this. So we don't actually have anything reliable when people say this about the vaccine. So if you do your homework as a journalist, would you go to press saying that this COVID vaccine will help the new strain when you have no data at all to support this? Of course, though, the current vaccine on the market was not clinically trialed like the first rounds of COVID, and it was certainly not designed for this variant. So how do we know that the current vaccine will help against FLIRT? We don't at all. Here's what Johns Hopkins said about it, that, you know, the vaccine against JN1, which is the previous variant, was designed around XBB.1.5, but it does generate some cross-reactive bodies, but studies have not yet been done. So that's the kicker right there. We know they have not studied it against this variant. Novavax said that its vaccine was actually tested against this variant in macaques and showed some protection, but this one is not currently on the market. So what we're looking at here, this variant, is KP2. No, not macaques. Macaques are the monkey.
Macaques.
Macaques. Sorry, macaques. I always say that wrong. No, we're looking at KP.2 is the one, you see it in the middle. These are just variants that you see here that they're testing their vaccine against. And so they're only testing for contraction, I believe. So this variant, though, will spread in the United States, and it is currently spreading in the United States. Here are the numbers. You look here, the KP.2. I get confused about where they're putting Yes, this chart. So what we're looking at is in gray is how much KP.2 is spreading throughout the United States. And we see that it's increasing week by week. But hospitalization rates, even though you see that this new strain is spreading, hospitalization rates and death rates look like this. It's negligible.
So go out and get your booster.
Right. So they're telling you new strain, get a booster. But when you actually look into the data, well, does the booster cover this strain? No. Does the original COVID vaccine actually prevent more severe COVID? No data on that. Okay. Do we have a problem with hospitalizations and deaths? No. But they're telling you anyway, so we'll see how many people that works on. But they still are saying to wear a mask and test. If you want to do that, go ahead. We've covered the masking data. We did that recently, I think as recent as next week. You can wear a mask if you want. I don't want to get testicular cancer, so I'm not going to. But that's a little joke there because I don't have any testicles. Did you pick that one up?
Sorry, I was reading the chat.
Oh, I thought you would laugh.
About what, testicles?
I don't have any.
I laughed, but I was muted.
Oh, okay.
So I'll laugh again.
Thank you. Thank you for laughing at my joke.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So let me know how afraid you're going to be of FLIRT. You heard it here first.
All right. We got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to talk about this American Airlines story, which is absolutely outrageous. I think this could be American Airlines Bud Light moment. I think we need to make people aware of this. Please share this next story online, post it on X, post it on Facebook. This is absolutely disgusting. And American Airlines is trying to get away with it, and we won't let them. So we will talk about that in a second. We're also going to talk about, okay, if your body is riddled with cancer or you have Alzheimer's and dementia like President Biden, what if you could completely remove your consciousness from your body, implant it into another body, and go on with your life? New body, new brain, everything. Well, a new company says that that is about to become reality, and they are about 8 years, they say, away from making this happen. They just pulled the wool off of their company to show the world what this is all about. We are going to dive deep into that crazy story in just a second. But first,
I'm having flashbacks to the last time you did a story like this about
the
Matrix babies.
The Matrix babies, the womb factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is coming. I mean,
I
this
don't
is like,
see this, but okay.
Yeah. Hold on. You guys wait till you see
do
this
I
crazy.
Have to stay for this
you
story?
Have to stay for the story. You all have to stay for the story. In fact, smash the like button right now so that it pushes it further out in the algorithm. See if we can get thousands more people to watch this crazy story, but this is coming. And I want to hear your opinions of it because I think it's absolutely creepy as hell. But hey.
Okay. Two creepy stories coming right up, you guys. Hang in there. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because despite everything the Fed has been trying, we're still feeling the side effects of inflation. Filling up your car, grocery shopping, home repairs, everything is so dang expensive. Most of us are just paying things with a credit card bill and hoping for the best. That's why credit card debt is at an all-time high. But if you're a homeowner, there's a way out. You can call American Financing and they can put together a plan to pay off that high interest credit card debt and create meaningful savings for you every month. They are saving people like you an average of $854 a month and closing as fast as 10 days. So don't wait. Get yourself into a better position. Call their salary-based mortgage consultants today. It costs nothing to get started. And again, it's just you evaluating your financial products. Are you having a hard time and buying your everyday expenses with high-interest credit cards? Well, then think about exchanging that for a better bank product. And it's just something for you to sit down and learn. American Financing can help get that monkey off your back. So call them at 866-890-8434 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Once again, that's 866-890-8434 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Okay, talk about enabling pedophiles. American Airlines is showing us just how to do it. They say that pedophiles may record your private parts when you go to the bathroom, and it's your responsibility to look out for it. That is their defense in this disgusting case where a flight attendant used his phone to record young girls as young as 9 in the bathroom, and American Airlines is arguing that those girls did not have reasonable expectation of privacy, and that it's their fault, and they should have known that someone was recording them. So here's what this pervert would do, is lead these girls to first class and say, oh, you can use this toilet, but first let me wash my hands. And then he would say, oh, the seat's broken, but go ahead. And then put this little rigged device where he put a sticker here and a sign that says seat broken. And then the phone underneath is recording these young girls as they go to the bathroom. Now, the man and the airlines were both separately sued. And the airlines, again, filed their defense this week, saying that the 9-year-old girl who was one of the victims should have known better. 9 should have understand that a grown man in a position of authority told her to use this, and she should have known better and not pulled down her pants and used the bathroom. Watch for yourself and tell me what you think. And if you buy this, that it's the child's fault.
The family of that now 10-year-old Austin girl filed a lawsuit this week against the former flight attendant and American Airlines. This after the FBI told them their daughter may have been a victim. 37-year-old Estes Carter Thompson was arrested last month for allegedly using his cell phone to secretly record girls using restrooms on airplanes he worked on. The Department of Justice says Thompson guided girls to first class restrooms, but before they entered, Thompson claimed he needed to wash his hands and that the toilet seat was broken. The DOJ alleges Thompson hid his iPhone behind stickers reading "seat broken."
We don't know how many people he filmed. Like, we know there were five families involved in the current criminal proceedings, but that's just based on what the FBI learned from this phone. So who knows how many years he's been doing this? Who knows how many phones he has used?
Disgusting. Attorney Paul Llewellyn is representing the family of the Austin girl. He says the child was 9 years old when she was recorded in January of 2023. It was a 14-year-old girl who raised allegations during a flight from Charlotte to Boston back in September and took this photo. Federal investigators confiscated Thompson's phone. The feds say his iCloud account contained inappropriate videos from airplane restrooms recorded in a similar way. American Airlines did not respond to our request for comment, but in reporting about the criminal investigation, the carrier said it is cooperating with law enforcement. Reporting live, Dan Godwin on Good Day.
Yeah, Adventure Indiana in the chat says the flight attendant recording girls makes me boil. The airline response absolutely makes me explode. Hum hum says Panda says wood chipper. Yeah. That's how I would respond.
Okay. Oh, well, we're going to get the details on this, and you're going to get madder. So I've warning you about this because we're going to read the filing of what the 14-year-old girl did. So, I mean, obviously you can tell the difference between a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old. The 14-year-old at least knew this is not right, and she did something about it. The 9-year-old, who knows, right, how a 9-year-old responds to this. So let's just wait, though, because even though American Airlines is cooperating with this, they're also defending themselves, which I'm just shocked that they would do. Why wouldn't you settle this? Why would you let us see? I mean, I don't understand that at all. But here's what their lawyers wrote in a filing. Any injuries or illnesses alleged to have been sustained by plaintiff Mary Doe was proximately caused by plaintiff's own fault and negligence, which proximately caused by plaintiff's use of the compromised laboratory, which she knew or should have known contained a visible and illuminated recording device. Yeah, stupid victim.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
You should know better, 9-year-old.
Toilet seat is broken, and there's a sticker on it from a flight.
With a Sharpie,
flight attendant, like, seat is broken. Like, maybe there's a light that illuminates when you use a bathroom, you know? Maybe when you flip on a light, there's a light here as well. How's a 9-year-old supposed to know that?
Right, when
American
a person
Airlines,
in a position of authority.
American has, Airlines, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves.
I mean, because as an adult, like if I was in a situation where I knew I'm going to be, you know, in a compromised situation, like going, anytime somebody insists on going before me and then they go in after me, like something's up.
Yeah.
But that's because I've been around a while. I know these things. A 9-year-old, why would they have a frame of reference for this? Why would they occur to a 9-year-old that a grown man would want to see their butt?
Right. Yeah.
Like why?
Right. Like they're not even thinking of like whether is there a pervert like that in the world? Like they don't know that. And
yeah.
It's just awful for them to say this in a court filing. And this, I mean, this is reflective of American Airlines.
Sure. But also it's why people hate lawyers. I read this sentence. If we could just put that back on the screen, if you don't mind. Some demon typed that out and probably thought to themselves, I hate myself right now. You have to think that any self-respecting lawyer would think, am I really typing this right now on behalf of American Airlines, trying to blame a 9-year-old for being recorded? But somebody did. Some demon did that. And American Airlines is doing themselves no favors. So let's take a look at the original lawsuit and what their families say. The original lawsuit filed last year was because the 14-year-old had the gumption to stand up. The 9-year-old came along later is how we learned that there were more victims. So this is the filing. Now, remember, anyone can say anything in a court filing. I get that, right? But they have a lot of witnesses to corroborate this. So here's what they say, that American Airlines should have known that the flight attendant was a danger, and their conduct of following the incident, including not immediately confiscating the flight attendant's phone and not immediately notifying the pilots, allowed the flight attendant to destroy evidence and exacerbated the harm suffered by plaintiff. The plaintiff has suffered significant emotional damages as a result. And we're going to see exactly what her family says has happened to her. So again, the story goes like this. She's a 14-year-old girl, and she's flying on a September day with her family to move her older brother into college. And they took along the two younger daughters. Now, obviously, that hit me a little bit hard because I have a boy, girl, girl in this same order. And I can imagine the middle daughter, we're all going as a family. Move your brother into college. Big moment for them, right? She says she went to the bathroom in economy because, of course, we're always told that first class lavatories are only for first class customers. And she was waiting in a line. And the man said, oh, well, you can use the first class lavatory and I'll take you there. So she followed him, but that one was also full. And she thought, well, that's kind of strange because why would I wait in a line here when I could wait in the line there? The line's the same. But anyway, he said, well, I'm going to go wash my hands first because we're going to do a trash pickup. Now, look at how they tell this story, and you're going to be pissed. I'm just warning you. She says he was in the bathroom for approximately 1 minute. And when he emerged, he said, the seat in there is broken, but don't worry about it. We'll get it fixed when we get back to Charlotte. And then she went in, and there was a tape on the lid, and he had written, handwritten, seat broken. She turned around and she locked the door and she sat down. But she actually did go, but she didn't see the phone until she turned back around. And she turned to flush the toilet. That makes sense, right? You go in, you pull your pants down, and then you turn to flush. And she's like, what the hell is that? So she took out her phone and she took a picture. And she noticed the flash was on. And then that the photograph we have that we showed you earlier was her picture. Take a look at it. So then she went, and he was still waiting for her when she was done, even though he said he was going to do a trash pickup. And she went back. And she said as she exited, he went back to the same bathroom and he went in and closed the door, presumably to look at her phone. Now she goes back to her seat and she tells her mother right away. And the mother obviously is super upset and goes to the first class flight attendant. And the first class flight attendant says, oh, this is very serious. I will have to tell the pilot. But she doesn't. So the mom goes back and tells the father. This, again, I can just see because, you know, we fly a lot as a family and, you know, a lot of times I'm dealing with the kids. Do you have this snack? You need to read your book now, that kind of stuff. You know, Clayton's not getting involved. And then when you get the dad involved, you know, something's going to go down. So the dad gets wind of it. And this guy, I have to give credit for not just going and beating the guy up or something like that, because the father gets up. And he goes and look at number 52. He finds the guy. He sees that all the flight attendants are gathered in the back of the plane. And he says, what the hell just happened to the first class in the first class bathroom with my daughter? And the two other flight attendants look shocked. What happens now is he demands to see his phone. And the flight attendant walks away. He thinks that the dad thinks, oh, he's going to go get it. But at this point, the father realizes he's not coming back. And he took his phone. So he goes to try and get the phone. And by this time, the guy has already deleted most of what he had on his phone, or it's locked. He tries to get it away from him, and the phone is then locked, either the passcode or something like that. Again, you know, Clayton and Philip are both dads of adolescent girls, and they can tell you this would be very hard to not hurt this guy after knowing what he's done to your kid.
They would be grounding the flight at the nearest airport if that was my daughter. That's all I had. Kudos to this guy for showing restraint, but I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I would have a hard time not grabbing a fork off of somebody's tray table and stabbing the guy in the neck.
Very graphic.
But I would have a hard time with that, but I would try to restrain myself, and I would definitely beat the shit out of the guy. I wouldn't kill him, but I would definitely beat the shit out of the guy.
Okay.
I would have no gumption about that at all. And Yeah, I probably would be arrested as a result of it.
Right. I mean, you have to think about what happens then to the dad, right? What,
but you just,
what's the purpose of him going to jail?
But he lures the girl. Like, that's the, you know, the creepy part, of course, is the thing in the toilet, right? But the premeditation of it all, right? He's luring her away from the other bathroom. He's like, he's thought this whole process out. You know that he's done it many times.
Yes.
Right? And it's been highly effective for him. So he's done it many times. He's lured her away with the promise of a bathroom. Oh, I'm going to go in and check it first. I got to wash my hands because I got to fix, you know, blah, blah, blah. He sets it up. So he does this whole song and dance. It's like the premeditation, the luring, the sexual predator.
Yes.
Of it. That's,
and this is apparently the same experience of the 9-year-old. And you saw in that news piece that now when he was finally arrested, now we're going to see here, he was not arrested on this day, and how the airlines handled it is a major part of the plaintiff's case, in my opinion, a strong case, because they found more on his phone later when he finally was arrested, and they don't know how many victims he's had because you can't identify young girls' butts like that. You know, I mean, you could maybe match the date and then that he was working and the dates on the flight, but what are they going to do, right?
No, and this is where, hey, we should actually praise the FBI, like track down these other victims, and we're able to like figure out who it was that like, and figure that out. Like, good for them for like tracking down pedophiles. That's the work they should be doing.
Right.
Right. This is the work the FBI should be doing.
And I wonder if my daughter, if this had happened to my child and we found out about it and we didn't otherwise know, right? How would you feel about that? Like, you were on this flight,
and
you're a child.
And you don't know.
Would you rather not know, or would you rather know? Now, let's take a look at what happened when the plane landed, because the flight attendants did, if we could go back to the last one with the 68 at the top, the flight attendants waited to tell the pilot, if you look at number 69, until after they had already told the male flight attendant of what was happening and the parents suspected him. So the plaintiff's father returned to his seat again, bless him for that amount of restraint. And then multiple flight attendants, female flight attendants, came up to the family and apologized. I don't even know how they had the courage to do that. They must have been so embarrassed about that. And they said, we're going to search his baggage when we land. But none of the flight attendants or the pilot seized the phone. And during the remaining 1 hour of the flight, he still had his phone and had unfettered access to his phone alone. So presumably he's deleting like mad, right? And in fact, the FBI informed the plaintiff's mother that other flight attendants had reported that after being confronted, he was in the airplane bathroom back in his office with his phone for an extended period of time. Now, when they landed, the pilot had the wherewithal to tell everybody to stay in their seats so that guy couldn't just keep running. And they did then seize his phone and they removed the flight attendant from the plane, but he was not arrested until just last month. So he still had some time. Now, here's what this young girl's family says that she's struggling with, bless her heart, post-traumatic stress, including but not limited to depression, irritability, and anxiety. She's jumpy, nervous, fearful. She's worried about being in public. She suffers from insomnia and nightmares. Has a hard time with relationships, including, this one breaks my heart, her ability to trust adults tasked with ensuring her safety, such as teachers and other authority figures. Well, obviously, right, this guy was there to keep her safe on a flight and was exploiting her. And furthermore, if you take a look at the next one, she's scared of him. She thinks that because she reported this, that he's going to find her or her family. She's worried that they may have still may still be footage of her private parts that may be on the internet. She's devastated to think that it may still be out there. And so the plaintiff's lawyers say that the girls did have a reasonable expectation of privacy, and American Airlines is making the argument that they don't. So presumably, if they don't, none of us do. Right? So none of us have the expectation of privacy in an airport bathroom, an airplane bathroom. And also, News Nation made a good point. Federal law requires that we comply with flight attendants. Watch.
So American Airlines is saying, don't blame us for Thompson's alleged perverted behavior, but they hired him and they put him in a position of supreme authority, which all flight attendants have on flights. Passengers, may I remind everybody, face federal penalties if they refuse to obey a flight attendant.
Exactly. In my view, is have they no shame?
Right. Have they no shame? And even to fight this lawsuit shows me that they don't. It's outrageous that they didn't settle this and, you know, that they're actually fighting these families. So let us know what you think of this. Will you be flying American Airlines? Is there anything we can do about it? It's bonkers. It's the most bonkers story.
It's crazy. No, I people are like, Clayton knows Krav Maga. No, I don't know Krav Maga.
When did you learn that?
No, really. No, but I did stay many, many years of Okinawan Kempo. And so I would pull a Chuck Norris. I'd break that guy's kneecap with one kick to his knee, and I'd grab him by the neck and I'd throw him down.
Okay.
And I'd grab his windpipe.
You can fantasize. Revenge fantasy.
It is a revenge. It's like a Quentin Tarantino revenge fantasy.
Right. But you have to think
all of his victims on one plane.
You're
get to
in
go
front
after the
of
guy.
Your children. You want your son to have a good move-in experience to his first time away from home. Like, I mean, think of what that's taught these children. It's like your brother's going to be alone in the world, and the world is a super effed up place, kids.
Yeah, clearly. A lot of people also in the chat saying, I will not praise the FBI. I'm not praising the FBI. I'm just saying in this situation, they managed to track down other victims who might otherwise not have known. It seems like that. We don't know the full extent of it, but it seems like they were at least able to identify and like go and dig out other victims to make them aware of this, and they could be part of this lawsuit and go after this guy. But American Airlines should be absolutely ashamed of themselves.
Right.
Here. And we should all, I mean, you know, again, this was one guy. He was working for American Airlines, but American Airlines has like elevated the guy, promoted the guy, and is now defending the guy and
well,
making
he's
the
now
victims
arrested.
And
he's...
making the victims the bad guys here, basically.
Right. So American Airlines should not be spending any legal defense money helping this guy at all. Right. And so they're defending themselves, but this helps the actual perpetrator as well.
Gary Jr., nice to see you. Gary Jr. says, hey, guys, I'm new to Redacted. Great broadcast. Thank you, Gary. We are live Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you'll join us. And thank you so much for being a part of our show. We try to cover the stories the mainstream media redacts and ignores. We try to do it with truth and follow the facts. We don't have an agenda here, so we do not have an agenda. We got more news, though, we're going to cover, and we're going to talk about this crazy story. You have to stick around for this. This is unbelievable. If you have a body that's, you know, riddled with cancer, or someone in your family that has Alzheimer's, what if you could just swap out their head for a new body or pick and choose? You want a whole new body? We'll take your consciousness, we'll store it, and then we'll place it in the new body. That's what a new company just unveiled says they are about 8 years away from pulling this off. They're now hiring all sorts of top talent, scientists and engineers. They've let the cat out of the bag on this. We're going to show you the unbelievable story in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at ExpressVPN, because I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be able to do this show without ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts and reroutes your online traffic through secure servers. Now, how does it work for us? Well, for instance, every day I use ExpressVPN to access different news sites around the world because of censorship in a lot of these countries, whether it's in Canada or Europe or even in the United States. Websites are blocked. You are not allowed to read certain websites because of censorship. This is what we're up against right now in this authoritarian 2024. It's really, really sad. But ExpressVPN allows you to anonymously reroute your traffic through any server that you want. So very often I'll use one in the United States. I'll use a server, you know, you can pick one in New Jersey, in Arizona, and other parts of the country. You can go to Iceland if you want to. You can pick servers all over the world to allow you to anonymously surf the web. And look, when I'm on public Wi-Fi and, you know, you're doing any kind of work, whether you're out at a coffee shop or something like that, you should never, ever, ever just be surfing using their Wi-Fi without having ExpressVPN turned on, running in the background, because hackers can easily steal your personal data on unsecured public Wi-Fi. And people jump on all the time and they do their banking at the coffee shop and they're not using a VPN. Are they crazy? ExpressVPN has been on my computer for years. It is a must-use app that I use every single day here on Redacted. Natalie has it turned on her computer constantly and running in the background. I have it running on mine in the background constantly and on my phone, and it's lightweight. You won't even notice that it's running. It's that lightweight and secure. So our friends over at ExpressVPN right now will give you 3 months of ExpressVPN for free, okay? Just go to expressvpn.com/redacted to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. So go to expressvpn.com/redacted. Find out how you can get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. And thanks to all, I see a lot of new people here tonight. If you're new, let us know you are. Just say, hey, I'm new, and welcome. Nice to see you guys, and thanks for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our show. Well, what if you could swap out your cancer-ridden body with a new body? What if you could swap out your Alzheimer's-racked body with a new one? Keeping your consciousness, of course, keeping that totally intact. But yes, a totally new body, your memories are all still there. It sounds like it's straight out of a science fiction novel, of course, but it's actually happening right now. It's real. I'm talking about the unveiling of the world's first head transplant system by a new startup company called BrainBridge. BrainBridge has been operating in stealth mode, keeping its revolutionary plans kind of under wraps until yesterday when the company's lead project manager dropped this trailer on Instagram.
Introducing BrainBridge, the world's first revolutionary concept for a head transplant machine, which uses state-of-the-art robotics and artificial intelligence to conduct complete head and face transplantation procedures, ensuring smooth outcomes and faster recoveries. Because head transplants require high speed, precision, and efficiency, BrainBridge utilizes advanced high speed, high precision robotic systems to speed up the process, eliminate human error, prevent brain cell degradation, and ensure seamless compatibility. The head transplant procedure involves removing a person's entire head, containing the brain, from their current diseased body, then attaching it to the body of a healthy, young, brain-dead donor. Head transplants could provide individuals with severe medical conditions such as terminal cancer, paralysis, spinal cord injuries, or neurodegenerative diseases the opportunity to have a fully functional body while preserving their consciousness, memories, and cognitive abilities. The neurons are the longest-lasting functional cells in the human body. And according to our estimates, the brain is capable of lasting several hundred years, provided that the rest of the body remains young. The BrainBridge concept involves the use of the integrated robotics platform comprised of the two autonomous surgical robots, designed to perform simultaneous surgeries on two bodies side by side within a single setup. The complete robotization of the process allows for the surgery to be performed in an environment with varying temperature and pressure. The procedure begins by preparing the donor and recipient bodies.
Yeah.
Get the heck out of here.
So I love someone in the chat says, BrainBridge's stock ticker is BS. I mean, this is, yeah, okay. So we're talking about moving a patient's head onto a new healthy brain, onto a new healthy brain-dead donor body, basically. So let's break this and what this means.
RoboCop. Something.
Yeah, I see RoboCop too. BrainBridge says their technology is designed to offer hope to patients suffering from conditions that are currently untreatable, such as stage 4 cancer, paralysis, again, neurodegenerative diseases, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. And they say, of course, these are devastating diagnoses that have no options right now for these patients. But BrainBridge aims to change all that by preserving a patient's consciousness, memories, cognitive abilities, while giving them an entirely new body. So how do they exactly plan to do this? I mean, they're going to use this like high-tech robotic system with real-time molecular level imaging. They say they're about 8 years away from pulling this off right now. Hashim Al-Ghali, the project lead at BrainBridge, said he is that every step of this concept is based on scientific research, extensive scientific research. And the reason they're coming out of stealth mode now is because they want to attract top talent in science and engineering to be a part of this. And they say they're about 8 years away from their first patient being ready to get his or her head swapped out.
You go first.
I mean, you think about Neuralink, right? That's now, Elon Musk tweeted the other day, they're now soliciting for their second patient right now. They have their first one that was successful. Yeah. Like now this is, people are saying this is Frankenstein.
It is.
and people are wondering if cryogenics has worked. Actually, that's a great question. Aren't there still like a number of famous individuals cryogenically being held for just such an occasion like this? Like, isn't Ted Williams or something like that? I know there's like a couple of rumors about
Walt
people
Disney.
That are Walt Disney, yep. that are cryogenically being but held.
I do believe that the consensus is that was all just like hopes and dreams, and there's really no recovering those brains.
Another one says infertile with turtle. I like this. Head says, you guys, they've probably been doing this successfully underground, or they wouldn't announce it. Other people saying it's really, really creepy. There's all sorts of ethical and philosophical questions here that need to be addressed, right? The concept of head transplants, of course, challenges the very notion of like what it means to be human, right? So what is your identity, right? Your soul, your consciousness, the essence of what a person is. What happens when you wake up? And yes, they're using CGI here. Like they're not showing actual human beings. This is like a rendering. This is a concept film that they're showing off here from this company. But, you know, so what happens when you wake up in a completely different body?
Right.
Right. You're in a completely different body.
Oh, I have ugly toes now. I don't like these toes.
Are you still you? Like your consciousness is there, but you wake up in an entirely different body. Is it still you?
And you think of like muscle memory, you know, are you going to know how to, I don't know, the things that you know how to do, like chop tomatoes or whatever?
Right.
Will you suddenly know how to knit?
Right.
Yeah. Will you now be able to? Is it like the Matrix, where you've had all of these? Well, we know that actually from people who've received different organs and organ transplants, that they have suddenly had an affinity for playing cello music. We know that's actually a documented case. You can actually study that where people who've had different organs transplanted into their bodies, heart transplants, etc. Yeah. They've actually suddenly had awareness or an affinity for certain things that they never had before, and it was because of the organ has a memory. So like, what does it mean? What about hubris too? Like you're playing God in this situation too, with human bodies and consciousness.
Right. Also,
go ahead. Oh, I was just gonna say like your genetics, your chromosomes are different from one part of your body to the other.
Yeah.
Like you'd literally have different genes in your head than you would in the rest of your body. Like, how would your body really deal with that? That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're processing all of this. Go ahead. You were going to say,
I think spiritually this bothers me because my belief is that we come here with a purpose to experience something and overcome triumphs and try and learn in our lifetimes and have an experience. And I think that this is sort of cheating the human experience in a way, is saying like, I'm going to give myself an extra lifespan or something. Like, that's the thing that really bothers me a lot.
A lot of doctors online are praising this. Dr. George, who has a pretty large following on X, says, you know, the first head transplant system uses robotics and AI for head and face transplants. Science is amazing. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, right, if you're a doctor and this is what you're doing, you're trying to treat stage 4 cancer and you can't do it, and you've reached the end of, now we can take a donor body and just swap out your head on this donor body.
But what are the ethics of that? Is just saying that person, let's just give up on them, right? And we see how in Canada now, how easily now they give
right.
up on someone's lifespan. And so would they, someone who maybe had a possibility of regaining consciousness, like who makes that call?
Is there going to be like a maid, like in Canada, like a maid to bridge, like brain bridge pipeline, like
right.
just go right from the maid program into the brain bridge program.
Yeah, that's terrifying, right?
Oh my God.
You're depressed, but here you go. Also, just the idea of like my head on somebody, the way you intimately know yourself seems a little bit strange. You're like, oh, you know, what is this?
So. Well, it's like Bill Murray said. He's like, if I had breasts, I'd never leave the house.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you put on the wrong body. You're proud of yourself for that one.
It's Bill Murray's joke. I'm giving credit where credit is due, but it's super creepy. I mean, I don't know. I just find it so stunning. And they're like, yeah, we're 8 years away from this because we're basically, and what's amazing is they're taking the human being out of the surgery process. It's fully AI, fully robotics.
Well, that probably is going to happen anyway.
I was researching the story, I thought, my gosh, think about surgeons who, like how long until surgeons are removed outsourced from the process and, mm-hmm. you know, or they're sort of just overseeing it, but they're really not involved in the robotic process anymore. Mm-hmm. Like how close are we to that? To think to go from like the Model T factory assembly from 100 years ago all the way up to this now, we're changing heads.
Yeah.
Our pets' heads are falling off. It's crazy. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. The transhumanism continues. I'm sure Rachel Levine would love to do something with this. We'll see about that. Hey, we've got a daily newsletter. We would love for you to subscribe to it. Go to redacted.inc. Sign up for it. It's totally free. And it's delivered to your inbox kind of early in the morning. Depends on where you live around the world. But we cover about four or five of the big stories of the day. We try to get you caught up on stuff you might have missed while you were sleeping. Cover some market news, gold prices, silver prices, all of that stuff. First thing in the morning into your inbox. And it's a great way for us to stay connected to you. So go sign up for free right now. If you're new to the show, you might as well sign up for our newsletter. It's our way to stay connected with you because these big tech platforms love to censor us and block us. And the only way for us to stay connected is with our own email. So redacted.inc. We will never sell your information or anything like that. You get our great newsletter Monday through Thursday. And we would love for you to subscribe. Redacted.inc.
All right. Well, we'll see you here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, you know where to find us.
Good night, all you Frankensteins.